Monster Mash is a dance, it's a song, and it's a second song that we haven't heard. Now listen. I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight when my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the mash. That's a dance. Now, for a good half of the song, we're describing a band coming together. The Crypt Kicker Five. Igor's backed by his bang hounds. He's playing the chains on percussion, a percussion of chains. And what are they playing? They played the mash. This song that we hear is being written in real time in the song. So you can't say that he played the monster mash and that it's the same song that we're hearing. It doesn't make any sense.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network, a fine network. It's Friday, October 27th, 2023. This is The Drop. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory. To my left, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo! And over yonder, the man making the magic happen, super producer, J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button. Make sure you subscribe. Tell your friends. Podcast listeners, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. We really appreciate it. On today's pod, we're going to cast NBA players as Ocean's 11 characters.
Classic movie.
We'll explain why later. We got Tweet of the Night, actually from a No Dunks fan. And in rapid fire, Doug McDermott likes peanuts. We'll also explain that. But we had games on last night, and we could really focus on this TNT doubleheader action. The first one, let's jump into it, TK. Get your thoughts. Damian Lillard dazzles in his debut with the Bucks, scoring a game-high 39 points in the tight 118-117 win over the Philadelphia 76ers. What do you think about Dame time? Central Dame time? Freaky time? What are we calling it?
Yeah, is there like a thing where it's like Central Dame time or 2 hours earlier for West Coast Dame time? I don't know, Skeets. Be honest with me. Were you tapping your wrist when Lillard hit the three with about a minute 10 left?
That step back to the side there? Yeah. No, I didn't tap it, but I thought about it.
Yeah.
I had already taken my Apple Watch off and put it on my dock to charge.
Fair enough. This was awesome. Like, this was the ideal debut for Damian Lillard because coming into the season after the trade, everybody's talking about Damian Lillard is going to be the takeover guy for the Bucks down the stretch. That's something that they've lacked in the past, having to cobble together a closer from Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Giannis. One of the three of them had to do it. Coming into this season, though, we said Dame time is going to be freak time, whatever that means. But he's going to be the guy to do it. And he was 100% the guy to do it last night. 14 points in the last 4 minutes of this game, and he got it done every single way. He drove to the hoop, had some tough layups. He got to the free throw line, 17 for 17. Yeah. Obviously, he hit the three after the controversial Giannis floater. He hit another three a little bit later. That was the tapping one. I was kind of surprised that not every single Bucks fan was tapping in the crowd when they went to the crowd shot. But I guess it's only night one. But for a night one, perfect. Perfect start for Damian Lillard.
Yeah, as far as first impressions go, it would have been very difficult for Lillard to deliver a better one. Like you said, 39 points. He scores Milwaukee's final 11, takes over in the clutch. I mean, give the Sixers credit. They were down big. It looked like this one was going to turn into a yawner, and they got back into it. Even down late, they suddenly made it a game.
Yeah.
I know I said it's a one-point game at the end. We did have a crazy banked-in three.
Yeah.
It was really a four-point victory, if we're being honest. But yeah, they fought and scrapped their way to make it a respectable line and a close game. But yeah, Lillard, man, 39. 8 boards, 4 assists, not a single turnover, which he is pretty good at taking care of the ball. And he wasn't amazing from three. Like, he goes 4 of 12 from downtown, but 2 of those threes... massive
clutch.
In the clutch time, and had some people at least in Milwaukee tapping their wrist.
There's a few tappers
there, but I really like that one where I think Tobias Harris hit a three-pointer. It was a two-point game again, and then Dame, he drove to the basket and drew that foul. Like, yeah. He was attacking. He wasn't just settling for those, like, sidestep threes or the deep bombs. He was going at them, and obviously, yeah, lived at the line. 17 of 17, cash.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And, you know, it would be understandable, I think, from Giannis Antetokounmpo's perspective to be saying, hey, no, I want to take the shots. This is my team. I've been here forever. I'm signed up forever. But no, in the very first game, he was happy to turn it over to Dame and let him cook. There was a lot of ISO possessions for Lillard. There was a lot of possessions that were involving Giannis as well. But man, that was impressive. And a great first half, too. 17 points in the third quarter. They were running screens for Lillard at the logo. Like, yes. Brook Lopez and Jay Crowder would be standing in the Bucks logo, setting a double screen for him. He's letting to pick either way, and then it's just so much space for Lillard to attack. But yeah, you're right. The Sixers, they were down, what, 19, I think, at the end of the second quarter?
Yep.
Didn't even Reggie say they need a push right here? Then they started hitting threes. Yeah. They played really well, I thought, through the second and third quarter. They got hot from three, I thought, but the poise and the confidence from the Bucks and from Dame was just unbeatable.
My final note with this game one of Giannis and Dame, freaky time, I guess. Getting some Shaq Kobe vibes from the two of them, how they're going to go about this. Hmm. You know what I mean? Obviously, I'm talking like championship Shaq Kobe, where it's like the physical presence of Shaq, unstoppable for a majority of the game. Maybe his weakness, though, you know, when you get into clutch situations, he's a big guy, you got to get him the ball, and then he could get fouled and struggle at the line. Some similarities there with Giannis, but just, like, dominant guys for a majority of the game. But then you've got, like, the gunslinger there, the guy that's not afraid to take shots, loves taking the big shots, the Kobe-Dame comparison. I see it. It's only one game. I'm overreacting, but, yeah, they're feeling pretty good there in Milwaukee.
Yeah, and I mean, you want to talk about looking too far in advance, Skeets. You're saying Shaq and Kobe, but there's a defending champion that has a great big guy and a great guard.
Good point.
Imagine those two duos going against each other when it matters.
Let's talk a little bit about the whistle. I did think the Sixers got the short end of that whistle from the refs last night. You brought up the Giannis airball with about 4 minutes to go. That is the number one thing in pickup basketball that gets everybody complaining and arguing and saying that's a travel and it's our ball, and everybody else saying, no, it slipped or it was tipped or whatever. But it really hurt the Sixers because not only did they miss the call, it looked like a shot to me. They said it wasn't.
They said it slipped out of his hand?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it did, but he was going up to shoot it. It looked like to me.
And then it results in a Dame 3. That was the worst part.
That's because Embiid and Oubre were getting their roll on.
They turned into refs and stopped playing for a second. Yeah. And then, yeah, Dame hit that three. So there was that one. Approximately 30 seconds later, I want to say, Kelly Oubre Jr. called for an offensive foul. Sort of while he's handing off the ball, runs into Jay Crowder, who goes down. So they call the offensive foul. That was a bit of a rough one. And then 30 seconds later, Embiid, driving into traffic, gets the foul call. Okay, somebody got him, I guess, on the arm there. He's going to go to the line. The Bucks wisely challenge. They look at it, and they say it was marginal contact, not a foul.
Tough one.
Bucks ball.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in the span of a minute there, ooh, that's three tough ones there for the Sixers, especially that Giannis air ball, which they botched
that. They botched that one, but they botched it.
Yeah.
And the calls went against the Sixers, but the Sixers, I feel like, exacerbate the situation by overreacting to it. Like, Embiid and Oubre are reacting to the missed travel. There's the take when Giannis ends up with an and one on the other side. Embiid goes to the hoop. He misses, and you see him in the background asking for a call. He probably could have or should have gotten a call, but he didn't. And Giannis is on the other end, scoring a layup. Yeah. It's like you can't get completely derailed in a clutch moment like that by the calls going the wrong way.
Some positives for the Sixers. Tyrese Maxey, holy crap.
This guy's good.
31 points, 4 boards, 8 assists, 2 steals, 0 turnovers from your point guard. Hey, Nick Nurse is going to play him. I think he got 40 minutes. Well, you get used to that, baby. That's Nurse style. But he was amazing. And then Kelly Oubre Jr., who obviously just made his way to Philly. 27 points, 4 boards, a steal, a couple turnovers, but hyper-efficient. 9 of 11 from the field, 5 of 6 from deep. Not the greatest defense in the world from Kelly Oubre Jr.
Nah.
That's sort of his thing. But, man, I mean, that's that's a really good first game for him there, offensively.
Steal of the summer, maybe.
Sure.
The guy's on a vet minimum. He's not a bad player. He scored 20 a game last year.
I know,
But obviously, flaws in his game, the defense.
Yeah.
And he's not going to shoot this well the entire time. But yeah, he was blowing kisses in the first half of the first game this season. I thought that was amazing. Scored off the dribble. Scored in the post. Like, he bully balled Marjon Beauchamp at one point. Yep. I thought that was impressive. He had a nice steal at the top of the key to keep the Sixers on the charge there in the fourth quarter. Yeah, great game for Oubre. He's going to play a lot, it seems, as well. They don't have a ton of wing options there.
Yeah. What do you think of Embiid's game? You know, overall, the line's okay, but a lot of turnovers. I believe he finished with 7 turnovers. Some of them were nasty.
Yes.
I mean, they were pathetic. That one where he tried to do his best Jokic impersonation, where he tried to tap the ball. Did you see that one on the sideline?
Yeah, that was brutal.
And then he just like, what am I doing? And then they went the other way. I think they maybe scored in transition. But what do you think overall from Embiid there?
Embiid is notoriously a slow starter. Yeah. He definitely plays himself into shape as the season goes on. And as he develops a rhythm, he gets a lot better.
Yeah.
I can't believe he had 5 turnovers in the second half. I thought he was playing a lot better. The first half, it was like, if they threw a double at Embiid, it was a disaster. And they were playing it. You heard it on the broadcast. This is how the Bucks play the Sixers. As soon as Embiid goes to dribble, they send another guy.
Mm-hmm.
So in the second half, he was just shooting it right away. Maybe a jab step, as he likes to do. But still, the finish with 5 turnovers in the second half, that was crazy to me. Philadelphia, in general, with no James Harden, they're a bad passing team.
Yes.
Like, Embiid is not a great passer. He seems to, like...
He's horrible.
It takes him a while to make the reads, and the reads are kind of like just the standard reads you would see. Maxey's more of a scorer than a distributor, and then everybody else is like, I'm getting a shot up, whether it be Tobias Harris, mm-hmm. Kelly Oubre. Not a lot of passing on this team, so ball security is going to be an issue for Philadelphia, and Embiid, certainly.
You're right about Embiid clearly still trying to play himself into shape. I think he only played 1 preseason game.
Yeah.
You know, there's some new pieces. There's no Harden. That's why that offense did look choppy,
mm-hmm.
And it was sort of like, yeah, just my turn, your turn. And yeah, he had the jumper going. Uncharacteristically, was 3 of 8 at the free throw line. This guy's usually pretty money for a big guy at the line, so struggled there. 7 turnovers, some of those just backbreakers too, where you're just like, that was dumb. Like, that was really stupid, man. And then again, he's like, he lets it affect him more than so many other guys. Like, he really does. He just like drops his head and almost like puts his hands on his shorts, and it's like, meanwhile, they're going the other way. Like, you don't love that. But no. You're right, give him this a couple games here, and I'm sure he'll you know, he'll be a lot more efficient and hopefully clean up the turnovers, which really killed them. Any other thoughts from this one? Again, entertaining in the end. Credit to the Sixers for making it close.
A couple of more little notes. I thought Giannis took a lot of jumpers in this game.
Yeah?
For game one. I thought he would want to, like, show off the Hakeem Olajuwon post moves. He did hit a little push shot at one point, he was pretty content to pull up for jumpers, which I just... It's weird to see for Giannis.
Yeah, I mean, that's where Embiid still is a monster defensively.
Exactly right. Exactly.
Got him the one time there, right? And gave him a tumble wag.
Yeah. It looked more like he had practiced with KG over the summer rather than Hakeem Olajuwon.
Okay.
Get inside, buddy.
Okay.
And also, a little shout out, Chris Middleton, only 4 minutes in the second half.
Yeah.
Kind of odd. I guess he's recovering from surgery, but still, I mean, I guess that makes it more impressive that the Bucks were able to pull this out in a close game where they were trailing a lot in the second half. And then Marjon Beauchamp, I thought, had a decent run for the Bucks. I mean, he got bullied by Kelly Oubre, which doesn't happen to a lot of players. He's still skinny, but he competed out there, I thought.
Yep. Fun game. Well, let's talk a little bit. Let's slip it in here about Harden, because the NBA is apparently probing facts around James Harden's availability after the Sixers guard there was ruled out for the season opener. So Harden's absence is raising questions regarding the implementation of the NBA's new, you know, star rest policy. He is listed as out and not with the team due to the return to competition reconditioning. That was on the injury report. I mean, we can spend literally 30 seconds on this if you want, but anything to add to this idea of, like, the NBA now has to address, like, Mike Bass, the NBA spokesman, had to, like, come out and say, yeah, we're going to need to look into this because we have this new rule that the NBA Board of Governors agreed upon and we're already breaking it, maybe? Like, what? I guess we got to figure it out if they are or not.
Yeah, it is skipping training camp and then having to get back into shape an acceptable excuse under the PPP? I guess we'll find out, but this one seems like it should be an open and shut case. They don't want him to be playing for the team and he doesn't really want to play for the team.
Right. but it is a nationally televised game. Does this not fit the criteria for these like key players? They should be participating if healthy. I guess they're saying, they're trying to say he's not healthy because he hasn't played a lot in preseason.
That's what they're
trying
to say.
That would be a risk.
And it also seems weird that the league could be like, no, you got to play this guy. Sorry, he doesn't want to play for you, and you don't really want him playing either, but you have to play him.
Yeah.
Because he made an all-star team a few years ago.
Do you think Philadelphia will actually be penalized here?
No.
They just got to say this.
We got to check into it. We got to see what's
happening. And, by the end of the weekend, we'll be, thinking about all the other teams and games, and, we'll just move on. Though, at some point, he maybe or maybe doesn't show up and play for this team. I don't know.
Will he sit on the bench? That seems unlikely to me.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah. He might be just chilling at home until December 15th.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's go to the other game from last night. The Lakers rallied from a 12-point deficit after three quarters to defeat the Suns, 100-95. Shorthanded Suns, no Booker, no Beal. L.A. outscored Phoenix 28-11 in the fourth, and they started that period on a 10-0 run. LeBron doing business there late, but Lakers surprised me a little bit. Showing some life there in the fourth quarter, coming back, getting their season to 1-1 here.
Huge fourth quarter for the Lakers. Largely because of LeBron and Anthony Davis. They both played the entire 12 minutes of the fourth quarter. I guess the minutes restriction, it's done for. It lasted one game. We got to keep him under 30 minutes for exactly one game. 35 minutes for LeBron last night. And basically the Lakers needed all 35 minutes from LeBron because he was incredible, I thought, in that fourth quarter. Lakers won the quarter 28-11. And if you're a Suns fan, you're thinking, uh-oh, this is the bad Nurkic. This is the Nurkic that people warned us about because LeBron was just pulling up Nurkic to run a screen and roll with Anthony Davis, and he was either just going around him or splitting the double team and getting an easy layup. The last three layups LeBron got in the last 4 minutes of the game came out of pick and roll, and it was all dragging Nurkic up there and LeBron being faster to him than whatever. He's faster. You know, it's LeBron. LeBron versus Nurkic. That's what I'm trying to say. The Suns, to me, just look small in this game. The Lakers are a team that has pretty good positional size in general. LeBron and AD clearly made it a point to stay in the lane. Yep. The Lakers had 60 points in the paint. Great game for Davis as well. He stayed aggressive the entire night and was living in the lane, and that's why the Suns lost this one.
Yeah, LeBron scored 10 of his 21. He played the entire fourth quarter, like you said. And he did have those back-to-back layups, in the final 90 seconds. So Ham decides to, throw the limit LeBron minutes plan out for at least one night here. Now, they talked about, they had all their timeouts. They were going to use them there late, bought him some more rest. LeBron said he felt great after only playing 23 minutes through the first three quarters, and then he could go the final frame there. But this is what we said after night one. We're saying, you watch how long this lasts. If they're continuing to lose the minutes when LeBron's sitting, and they need to rack up these Ws, it won't last long, and it didn't. We're back to him playing, again, the entire fourth quarter and 35 in total. Silver screen and roll, I thought they wrote the quiet part out loud here, or they wrote it on paper, on the internet. You know what I'm saying? Quote, a pessimist might ask if it's concerning that the Lakers need a 38-year-old LeBron to play every minute of the fourth to barely beat a Suns team missing two of their three stars. End quote.
Yeah. Yes.
You could look at it that way.
That definitely happened.
Yes, that definitely happened. But they got it done in the end. Durant for the Suns, 39 points, 11 boards. He moved into 12th place on the NBA's all-time scoring list, jumping ahead of Hakeem Olajuwon. But he had a rough fourth quarter, especially when it came to the turnovers. I mean, the Suns were garbage in the fourth. They entered up 84-72. They missed 13 of their next 14 shots, and they had 10 turnovers in 10 minutes.
That's impressive, actually.
Yeah. I mean, that was a big reason why the Lakers definitely got back in this. The Suns were helping them out there.
Yeah, 4-for-11 in the fourth quarter for Kevin Durant. Christian Wood, though, just a lockdown defender. He said, give me the matchup. I want to guard KD. And, 4-for-11, three turnovers. There was no other offensive threats out there, really, for the Suns, so the Lakers were able to really sell out and try and take KD away. Understandable, but Christian Wood, he was competing.
Yep.
He was at least competing. That being said, with Kevin Durant on the court, the Suns were plus 18. And with Kevin Durant sitting, they were minus 23. Yep. So that's where you really see the lack of depth showing up. When he's out alongside Booker and Beal not playing, it's like, We're talking about Nurkic and Eric Gordon as our leaders out here. That's not a great team.
I mean, you are removing literally 50 to 60 points from your starting lineup. It feels like the Suns are going to be okay if there's two of their three stars.
That's right.
It's when it's one star against the other team, they might struggle a little bit. Yeah, I wrote in my notes, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I have to credit Christian Wood for his defense. He played great. He used his length.
Yep.
He actually was sticking with KD as much as one can. He defended Eubanks really well when Durant was sitting there in the fourth quarter. Then KD came back in. He took the matchup, and he stopped him for three consecutive possessions. I can't believe it. I have shit on Christian Wood for years. Everyone's always like, look at the stats. Look at the scoring. He's good. And he's like, watch him on defense. He's horrible.
Yep.
That was the best I've seen him play defense in a very long time.
He was giving a solid effort. 10 rebounds as well. That definitely helps. You know, the Lakers definitely had more size than the Suns, but they were able to play Christian Wood and Anthony Davis together. They're playing Christian Wood clutch minutes in the game, too. I thought that was kind of surprising, but also surprising that he's like, give me the matchup and did well enough.
I know. You know? It's incredible. Yeah. This was pretty cool, this game, too, because it was the first time LeBron and KD had faced each other on an NBA court since Christmas 2018. That is wild. We've had injuries and load management and health and safety protocols preventing these guys, from playing in the previous 13 matchups between LeBron's Lakers and then KD's Warriors, Nets, and now Suns. So we finally saw that. And, you know, they both put up good lines. I did think KD ran out of gas at the end. Again, credit to Wood's defense and the bigs on the Lakers there. But He did a lot up until that point and needed somebody else to help out a little bit, and there was no one there.
There was no one there, but 39 points, and I think you saw like the importance that Jared Vanderbilt brings to the Lakers. He obviously hasn't been playing yet this season, but Kevin Durant was cooking through the first three quarters, and it was basically Torian Prince and Cam Reddish. They gave effort. They were there, but they can't guard Kevin Durant. Yeah. They need somebody like Jared Vanderbilt somewhere down the line to be able to throw at a big wing like KD or whoever else they might face.
Ugly sort of win for the Lakers. They only shot 17% from three, and they were out-rebounded 49-43, and they still got it done.
That's impressive, actually.
Because, LeBron put his head down and was attacking. AD bounced back with the 30 points, 12 boards, and some other contributions there. Any other thoughts on this one, either from the Lakers side of things or the Suns?
Slow start to the season for Austin Reeves.
Very.
Yeah. What he finished with 10 points last night, 4 of 7 shooting. Just seems like he's taking his time to find his way in the starting lineup. So that's something to keep an eye on, because he was great in the playoffs for the Lakers. There were times when you're like, he should be handling the ball and LeBron should be playing off the ball. LeBron was actually on the ball quite a bit last night, I thought, playing point guard a little bit more. And then similarly, Rui Hachimura, I thought, struggled as well. 7 points for him last night, only 12 minutes though. That guy was like a playoff hero for them, but that's kind of the story of Rui Hachimura. Slacks during the regular season, he shows up in the playoffs for whatever reason. But when you drop a bag on a guy like Reeves and Rui, you want him to show up in the regular season as well.
Yeah, Reeves in both of these games now, because they've played two quiet.
Definitely,
quiet games. Just in terms of, his involvement in the offense. I think a lot of us like thought, oh, this will be, coming off the Team USA where they finished fourth in the World Championships. That he would have more of a role, and that he'd have the ball more. But right now through two games, it's like very quiet Reeves games. I mean, he's doing like hustle plays. Remember in game one, he kept diving into the bench. He did it a couple times, but you just thought he'd be more involved in the Lakers offense. So far, that's not the case. But they got the win, they wanted that. They started, 2-10 last year?
Didn't want to start,
0-2 again and whatever happens, but they got it 1-1, Suns 1-1, and we'll see what happens here in the weekend.
You're right. They were playing from behind basically all season last year.
2-10
they started. It was terrible. Yeah. Then they stripped out Westbrook and caught fire, but it's a lot easier to play through the season and have your best guys healthy if you're not having to play playoff basketball for the last 2 months of the season. So, 35 minutes for LeBron. I think that'll be more common than under 30 minutes, I would have to imagine.
I would agree with that. But you're right. Start stronger than 2-10, and you can get away with, obviously, sitting LeBron down for games, limiting his minutes, if you're not like, holy crap, we got to get some wins going here,
exactly,
or we're not even going to make the play-in. So, they got that victory last night. All right.
One last thing, though.
Yeah, sure.
Every team has played one game, at least now. The Suns and the Lakers have played two, so these are my MVP rankings after one game.
Ooh!
Is it too early? No.
No.
Never too early.
I would say you're late to it.
I I actually am a little late. I wanted to try and slip it in before Suns Lakers.
Okay.
Since they played two games.
Okay, so this is your MVP leaderboard after every team has played one game.
That's exactly right. Through 1/82nd of the season, the MVP leaderboard. Number one, Damian Lillard.
Okay.
39 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 14 points in the last four
yeah,
minutes.
The clutch play there.
The
yeah.
clutch play I thought yeah. was huge.
Okay.
I've been debating this one, Skeets. Second on my ballot. I've been going back and forth. I'm going with Nikola Jokic. 29 points, 13 rebounds, 11 assists, casually dominant, I thought,
yeah.
in their opening night win. The guy I've been switching him back and forth with, Luka Doncic. He's going third right now. 33 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists, scored and assisted or assisted on the last 11 points for the Mavericks in their win over the Spurs.
Yep.
Coming in at number four, Kristaps Porzingis.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Hey, well deserved.
30 points, 8 rebounds, 5 threes, 4 blocks, and number 5, Donovan Mitchell, 27, uh-huh. 5, and 6. Had a game-tying steal and dunk and a game-winning 3.
Damn. Okay. Oh, the MVP table. We haven't seen this in so long.
Okay, so if you're number one on the leaderboard, you're tasked. You're holding the pizza.
Yes.
You get the last slice.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And then where does it go? I think you're 2, Jerome 3.
Turtlenecks, yeah.
And then
yeah,
JD
sure.
are, and I are 4 or 5 in some
I like
order.
That, yeah.
yeah. Okay.
Good.
Wow. People are saying, they're already pissed off. Where's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? You kept him off your ballot because he beat your Bulls.
He had too easy of a game.
Yeah, maybe true.
No clutch play.
Devin Booker.
Honorable mentions. I had Jason Tatum and Devin Booker, okay. but I'm docking Booker for games missed.
Okay.
He's missed half the games this season? Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's true.
Sure, it's only supposed to be for one game still.
It's true, it's true. All right, well, the stream team chiming in here. With
what,
the...
they want to see Cam Thomas, 36 points in 25 minutes? Extrapolate that to a per 36.
Ooh, came in a loss. That's tough. Yep. That's tough. Yeah, I mean, people get fired up about the MVP conversation even after one game, and that's why we're sickos, and that's why we do this. Let's take a break, and when we come back... we're going to do something insane. Don't go anywhere.
I got to get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute. But man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
All right, here in the Classic Factory, hit the like button, make sure you subscribe, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. The NBA unveiled a new ad campaign this week for the in-season tournament that features NBA players running around Vegas trying to pull off a heist to steal the tournament trophy. I think this is one of their best spots in years, so let's roll that bad boy.
I got something. Something that's never been done before. All 30 teams... single elimination, one NBA cup, all leading right here. The most unpredictable city in the world. Yeah, I know, it's an ambitious task, sure. One that calls for a special set of skills. Every crew needs a heavy. A forward who's light on his feet. And a guy with ice water in his veins. I got a guy with laser focus. Make that 2. A vet who isn't afraid to get his hands dirty. And an inside man. Someone who's everywhere and nowhere. Everyone's got their eyes on this new prize. But the only way to get the NBA Cup is to win it.
Looks like you're all gonna have to play for it.
Oh, there's the trophy. And there's the ad. Yes, in-season tournament. It's happening, baby.
Nice cup.
So we had Kawhi, AD, Draymond, Trae Young, DeRozan, Julius Randle, Darius Garland in a car, all making cameos there alongside Michael Imperioli in the spot that has decidedly Ocean's 11 vibes.
Mm.
Do you like the spot?
Yeah, I think it's great. Yeah. It's making me laugh in the stream team that people are saying it looks like smoking aces.
Yes,
smoking aces. Shout out to Jeremy Piven.
So
I think they were going for Ocean's 11 though.
Yeah, I think so. And this got our friend Robbie Calland over at UpRocks thinking about how he would recast the Ocean's crew with NBA players, for the most part current NBA players. So he did just that. It's a fun article. I'll make sure to add it to the show notes so you can jump over and read it. But I thought it would be fun to present Robbie's choices, debate whether he selected the right player or not for each of Danny Ocean's crew.
Yeah.
For each role. So here's the best photo I could find on the internet of the Ocean's 11 crew. I will note in this picture, we've got Andy Garcia in the back there as Terry Benedict, but he was not really a part of Danny Ocean's team.
He was the mark.
So we'll tackle that later. We'll tackle that later. Just don't look at him there behind beautiful Brad
Pitt. Don't look at him.
Yeah.
I looked at him. I can't stop, man.
Okay, so again, Robbie Calland is casting LeBron James as Danny Ocean, the ex-con who establishes the heist. Robbie thinks this is an obvious choice. LeBron is the elder statesman of the league, and if anyone were going to be capable of getting a crew together to pull off a heist, it is him. I think this is the correct pick.
Hard to argue with that.
Okay, yep. Okay, we'll move on. LeBron is Danny Ocean. He is George Clooney. Okay, next one. Robbie has Curry as Rusty Ryan. Okay, so Brad Pitt, Rusty Ryan. Danny's friend, partner in crime. Now, this was the spot that gave Robbie the most trouble because he wrote, there's an effortlessness to how Rusty does things that I think mirrors how Steph plays, and a natural charisma that shows up when it's showtime for both of them. That was his thinking. Now, he did consider Giannis and KD in that role.
Hmm.
KD, I don't think really works as the Brad Pitt, the Rusty to me. But Giannis, I could convince myself. But I like the Curry pick.
Yeah, I think Curry is right. I was thinking KD could be as well. The easy money sniper could definitely be that guy. And you saw LeBron and KD hugging after the game, the respect shown between each other.
Sure.
I feel like that's very similar to Danny and Rusty in Ocean's 11.
That is the issue with the Curry selection. Do Curry and LeBron really... are they partners in crime? Do they like each other? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think LeBron and KD like each other more. But
yeah.
I also think LeBron and Steph probably like each other.
Who's who's the NBA player most likely to be eating something all the time?
In every scene?
It is Curry because he's always nibbling on his...
it's like shrimp cocktail!
Mouth. Yeah, exactly.
His mouth guard literally looks like shrimp cocktail.
Yeah.
That's a great call.
Constantly
okay,
nibbling, just like Rusty.
That's a great answer.
Okay.
Imagine Steph Curry playing with a piece of shrimp cocktail hanging out of his mouth every night. Somebody please Photoshop that.
Okay, our next member of the Ocean's 11, Robbie goes with Luka Doncic as Linus Caldwell, and that is Matt Damon. That's the pickpocket who obviously aids Danny Ocean.
Yep.
Robbie felt very strong about this comp, okay? He wrote, quote, Luka is the highly talented young up-and-comer with the skills to be the best, but also is a little whiny and has some maturing to do before he takes the mantle as the guy in the league. That's
a great argument.
I can't argue with that.
That's a great argument. And there's like a funny relationship between Danny and Linus as well. We know LeBron loves Luka. He's raising him up in his image,
that's true,
if you will. I mean, Luka's good. My only possible replacement for Luka as Linus is Jimmy Butler as Linus.
Mm.
Because eventually Linus really gets into disguises.
Yes.
That giant nose he wears. And you know that Jimmy Butler loves disguises.
There are a couple guys that are into disguises that Jimmy could play. But instead... Robbie has Jimmy Butler playing Basher Tarr, who is Don Cheadle. That is the explosives expert. Because, again, Robbie's thinking here is, yeah, I went with the emo Jimmy there. Jimmy feels like the player most likely to do a hilariously over-the-top Cockney accent.
Okay.
So, yeah, probably fair. But yeah, you're right. There are a lot of other guys in the crew that maybe are more into the disguises. So,
but now that you mentioned, I can definitely imagine Jimmy showing up to Media Day next year, doing it all in a British accent. Yeah. No reason. Just yeah. do it. My other candidate was Kyrie Irving. Always creating distractions.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
James Harden loves to blow things up.
Oh, Harden's pretty good too. Yeah, those are both great. Those are both great. Okay, do you agree or disagree? People are liking my Photoshop work here too. Great. All right, next one here. Frank, we're talking about Bernie Mac, RIP. The discredited croupier and con man. So he was, he used to work in the casino, but he's a straight up con man.
What's a croupier?
Dealer of cards, isn't yeah. it? Yeah.
I thought it was the craps guy. Is it?
Oh, is it?
I don't know, actually.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I have that. That yeah. correct?
Yeah, thank you. Person in charge of a gaming table.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. There you go. So Robbie goes with Draymond Green as Frank, and he says Frank is the crew's slick talker with a big smile. So, you know, Draymond, gift of the gab. You know, he does got that big old smile. I don't mind it.
I like it. Especially because there's that scene when Frank is shaking hands with the dude at the car dealership and just like keeps squeezing his hand and squeezing his hand and squeezing his hand. I feel like Draymond would bring the necessary menace to the role that you gotta have.
Okay. Draymond is Frank there. Next one here. This is our first not current player. We got Michael Jordan as Ruben Tishkoff. That is the former casino owner who is Danny's wealthy friend. Ruben's the money. Okay. So we're going with Jordan, and this is why. Robbie writes, the money behind the operation who is constantly smoking cigars and wants to raise the minimums so he can play all the seats. That's the most Michael Jordan description I've ever heard.
Yep. He's got an interesting sense of dress as well, Ruben
true,
does.
True.
You see MJ's jeans thriving in that role.
Yep.
Another candidate could be Magic Johnson, just because I feel like he's a little bit more flamboyant than MJ is, just personality-wise.
Yeah.
And Ruben was a pretty flamboyant character.
I think the cigars put it over
the cigars
the
is great, yeah.
For MJ there being Ruben. The money, no doubt. All right, now we got the twins, the Malloy twins. We got Turk and Virgil as Brooke and Robin Lopez. There they are. I guess these guys were just two gifted mechanics. I think that's what their role was.
They pick them up at like a demolition derby or something. Yeah. Right?
I really think they're just going to get the one brother and the other one comes along. I think, but
isn't that like the story of Casey Affleck's life?
Yeah. Yeah. Talented actor though. He's really quite
creep,
talented.
But a talented actor.
Yeah, unfortunately. So the thinking here for Brooke and Robin as the Malloy twins, Robbie writes, even if we took the have to be brothers part out of the equation, if I asked you for the two players most likely to end up in a I'm not touching you fight in a van, you would say Brooke and Robin Lopez.
It's too good.
Robbie's killing this, man. Yeah. The reasons make sense here. So I think Brooke is Turk and Robin is Virgil. That's what Robbie thought. Maybe you would disagree.
Who is who?
Who's
Scott Kahn?
So Casey Affleck, I believe, is Virgil. Turk is, Scott Kahn.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Brooke. I also, in doing this Photoshop, I mean, I know they're twin brothers, but it's because of the hair, but when you really just look at their face, they do look absolutely identical. Yeah. And like Robin is Brooke with just a wig on.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
They look a lot more alike than Scott Kahn and Casey Affleck.
Yes, that's true.
And I had high hopes for Scott Kahn, I'll be honest with you. I thought he was going to be a legend.
Really?
Ocean's 11, Tweeter, and Varsity Blues. That's like back-to-back Jacks. I thought he was like the next James Dean.
There's still time.
I thought he was the next James Caan.
There's still time.
Okay, so we're okay with Brooke and Robin there as the twins. Our next one, Livingston Dell. That's the electronics and surveillance expert. Robbie goes with Jared Allen. Now, this might catch people by surprise, but Robbie writes, there isn't an NBA player I would trust to hack into a security system more than Jared Allen. He's also quiet, a fairly unassuming character in the overall landscape of the league, similar to Livingston. But Jared Allen is like a tech nerd.
Yep.
So that's the thinking here.
Yeah, I thought this was good. 10 years ago, it would have been Chris Bosh.
Yes, exactly.
We always have to have one coder in the NBA. It's Jared Allen right now.
Okay, so you agree with this.
I love it.
Okay. Also, the computer guy's name, last name is Dell.
Nice.
Perfect. I had never really thought about that. All right. A couple more left. The Amazing Yen, the acrobat, the little guy that they put in the box there and then has to do all the cool moves around all the lasers and stuff and the floor is lava and all that scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Robbie goes with Jose Alvarado as the Amazing Yen. A small, sneaky fella capable of slipping in and out of tight windows to steal stuff.
That's good.
Yeah. Is there anyone else that would, be a possible candidate for this?
Look, Alvarado is the right pick. But imagine if they went with Victor Wembanyama instead. Insane flexibility.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the scene where they're like, you got to get in that box?
And he could do it. He does his yoga, man. Yeah.
Maybe he gets in.
He could fold up and put himself in there. But yeah, if you're sticking with the small, sneaky guy, sure.
Yeah.
Jose Alvarado is good. Okay. Now we go to Terry Benedict, who we can just cross out. Because again, that's the casino owner. He's not technically one of the 11. It really pissed me off he was in this photo. So we're crossing him out.
So we're X-ing out his face.
Well,
we hate this guy.
We're crossing him out and we're pretending it's the final guy of Ocean's 11.
Okay.
It's Saul Bloom. It's Saul Bloom, and that's the elderly con man. And Robbie says, what about Shaq? Because Shaq is retired, and he's living in Florida, and he loves wearing disguises and talking in funny accents.
He loves all those things.
So that's Saul Bloom, according to Robbie. This was the one I was like, okay. Because again, I think he's really leaning into the elderly part. So like Jimmy would be good with the disguises,
sure.
But you know, he's still young and current. But yeah, what do you think? Shaq has Saul Bloom.
Yeah, I thought Shaq was pretty good. I don't know who else in NBA history is like a known disguised person. I think you would like to maybe even go a little older than Shaq, just if you could think of somebody. But I mean, dating back to the 80s, I don't know who's wearing disguises.
Well, LeBron had that commercial way back where he was playing
old
many
LeBron,
different.
Yeah.
Yeah, but come on, LeBron's our Danny.
Yeah,
what are you going to do? Yeah, you're right, though. Maybe somebody there in the stream team can let
Saul
us know.
Saul feels older to me than Ruben does.
Saul feels older.
Mm. Oh, yeah, he's definitely
older. Yeah, I
older.
Guess he is. Yeah.
What about, like, Jerry West?
I mean, Shaq
West
isn't young.
No,
it's like
Jerry West, okay.
Jerry West.
Why not?
Sure.
He hates being portrayed in anything.
People are saying Dennis Rodman. But
yeah,
Shaq is older than Dennis
sure.
Rodman,
yeah.
So if that's the issue, right?
No way. No, Rodman played in the 80s. Shaq didn't
come
until
that too. Hold on. Dennis Rodman looks a hell of a lot older than Shaq does.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
That
yes, indeed.
That guy's lived 10 lives. Oh, yeah, you're right. All right, so that's
Larry Johnson.
Grandmama.
Grandmama. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah?
Sure. So that is NBA Ocean's 11. Again, huge shout out to Robbie Calland at UpRox. He loves like Ocean's 11. Like he loves the series. So when he saw the heist ad from the NBA, he was like, I have to write about this. And I reached out to him. I said, I love the article. I got to do something with this. And he was pumped. So yeah, I did the shitty Photoshop work there, but not a bad crew. Not a bad crew.
Not a bad crew.
Do for a rewatch of that.
I don't know.
I
want to watch it now.
Exact same thing. Doing this, doing all this like quote unquote research last night. I was like, oh yeah, I'm talking. Like looking
good.
At scenes. Like I'm watching this, man.
Totally.
It's definitely one of those you could watch that movie over and over again.
I feel like it's not on TV that much.
Yeah, I guess.
Like I know that. Like you know, there's like Born Identity is on TV all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, there's obviously a bunch of other ones, but like I feel like I don't know.
I
don't see Ocean's 11 on,
should just
on
have an
TBS or TNT all the
you
time.
You should run that, the whole trilogy.
Yeah, well, yeah, do you like the whole trilogy?
I've never actually seen the other two.
Wow.
Or Ocean's 8.
Yeah,
oh,
I didn't see the new one either,
but
I saw the first three.
Yeah.
And it gets ridiculous.
It gets worse and worse.
Yeah.
I think we can just watch the first one.
Yeah,
we'll watch it on playback. You want to fire it up on playback?
Let's do it.
All right, thanks to Robbie, and thanks to everybody for humoring me with that. We're going to take one more break, but when we come back, Tweet of the Night and Rapid Fire Fun. Don't go anywhere.
It's NBA playoffs time, and that means NBA snack time. I can't stop eating while I'm watching. So many options in my house that I got to cut out a bit. I gotta switch it up, but I know I'm not giving up. Sunflower seeds, sure. But maybe something that's not a food for that oral fixation, perhaps? Good thought. Here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and more enjoyable. Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit easy. Its taste is surprising. All natural stuff. It's fun to fidget with, and it's a good weight. The wood feels good, and it feels cool to use. Start the good habit by going to tryfume.com/dunks and getting the Journey Pack today. Fume is giving listeners to the show 10% off when they use our code DUNKS to help make starting the good habit that much easier.
Few comments from the stream team here. Rap Stallion says, Ocean's 11 used to be on TNT all the time back in the day. So maybe that's what's happened, right? They had that window where it was always airing, yeah. And now it's sort of out of their lineup because I don't see it very often now, but good note there. Chris Franklin says, Ocean's 12, massively underrated. 13 is great. Y'all are missing out.
Okay.
That's at you, JD.
That could be true.
You got to watch these. Moxie says, I hate when Ocean's 11's on TV because it's an instant watch you can't turn away from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. There are a few of those movies that it's like, you see it, man. Any, a lot of the, Daniel Craig Bond movies.
Oh, yeah.
I see
it.
I'm like, oh, here we go.
Gotta watch it.
Now I gotta watch it, at least till the next commercial break.
That's something I miss out on these days. In the era of streaming.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just like you're not randomly stumbling upon a movie. Yeah. Now I gotta, like, hunt down Ocean's 11.
Yeah, I'm still a bit of a guide man. Every once in a while with my DirecTV. I am a channel Sherpa, if you will. Yeah, every once in a while, but way less than
it used to be,
for sure. So people seem to enjoy the casting NBA players as Ocean's 11 characters. So thanks for everybody for, again, humoring me, and thanks to Robbie. All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Tweet of the Night is circling back to something we talked about in our season preview shows, I guess. The first one is from @BrianTRobb. Derek White says the Celtics' top six players had their meeting about the starting five last week, and Derek White said, I voted for Jason Tatum to come off the bench. Now, thank you to Jacob, who retweeted that and, you know, made sure to tag Trey and myself. And Jacob wrote, you appear to have an ally in your screw with the sixth man of the year campaign.
I love it.
And this is what we were talking about. We literally said Jason Tatum, just like, hey, just tell coach you're going to come off the bench and then check in 30 seconds in, average 30 points per game. They have to give you sixth man. So they're talking about it, or at least Derek White, he sees the vision.
Do you think they'll bring Tatum off the bench just for one game to really drive home the six starters narrative?
They should take turns.
Take turns. Who's up next?
Or draw straws or paper, rock, scissors, like something fun. In the locker room.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, that's like a badass move, actually. It's like, we're so good. We have six of us that could start.
Yeah.
And they have like a little camera on them. And it's like, okay, we're going to figure it out. Who's starting? Or who's the guy coming off the bench tonight? But anyway, thank you to Jacob, No Dunks fan, for letting me know that. That slipped by me, the BrianTRobb tweet, or that little story about Derek White joking that Tatum should come off the bench.
Yeah, I don't even think it has to be 30 seconds. Like, he could wait the first 6 minutes.
Of course.
Really take a stint on the bench and then still play, like, an easy 36 over the course of the game. Start the second half. Who cares? But all you got to do is come off the bench to start. I think it's good. My other take would be that I think between the Celtics and the Warriors, we're going to have a lot of talk about having six starters in the league this year.
Oh, interesting.
Because it feels like the Warriors, once Draymond is healthy again, they'll have a decision to make about Chris Paul. It feels like he'll be the one to go to the bench, but you could definitely see him sending Looney, and in that case, they'll be talking about having six starters as well.
That's a good point. Thank you, Jacob, for bringing that to our attention. It's the Drop Podcast, so we got to end this bad boy with some rapid fire fun. TK's got the questions, we've got the answers. Let's get at it.
Victor Wembanyama made his long-awaited debut this week, and it was actually really, really fun. After the foul trouble, at least.
Yeah.
Skeets, what's something that was totally hyped up that you really enjoyed?
I went with Zion National Park. Not okay, Zion Williamson. Okay. Zion National Park, obviously, it's a great park. A lot of people talk about it. They made it a national one. I finally went last year with friends, and holy crap, man, I lived up to the hype.
Yep.
Bryce Canyon, just as incredible. But, oh, man, you know, you got the Weeping Rock. You got the Emerald Pools. You got Angel's Landing. And then the best, the Narrows. which was the premier hike for us, at least. We got lucky with the weather. That is the one where, like, you're in a canyon. You hike in a river. Like, you got the waders on, you got the stick, and it's like, it's incredible. absolutely amazing. That we got really lucky too, because it had rained a lot. Like, they shut it down. You need a permit to go in it, at least from the Zion entrance, and we hit that small window, and we were the first ones on the water that morning too, because you see photos, you know, during warmer weather too, there's like hundreds, if not thousands of people. So sure. It's like, no one wants to be in nature around a bunch of people.
Yeah.
But the day we got out there, we were alone for hours. So it was the three of us. And it's like, holy crap. And then when we were coming back, some people were going out. It was like, nice. It's an out and back. But anyway, Zion National Park. Go check it out.
Describe the stick. Like, was it a official?
It's a pole.
Like a pole, like
official, absolutely.
Like carbon fiber.
Like
we
went to one of those wilderness places to rent all the stuff. Okay. Like, you need the boots and the waders, and we didn't have all that. And they give you a stick too. And
cool.
Take note when you do it. Get the right stick for your height.
Right.
You don't want one that's too big, but you don't want one obviously that's too short.
Yeah.
You gotta find that sweet spot. But it was incredible. It's incredible.
I got
to
do
I've done this with Canada too, where it's like, we travel around the globe. Like, we're fortunate enough to be able to do that, afford that and all that. But it's like, then you like go in your backyard, It's like going to Jasper a couple years ago or now like here in the States. It's like, Italy's great. It's awesome. So is Portugal. It's amazing.
Oh boy.
But like, you got all these incredible things here in your backyard.
That's true.
We got great nature. The Natural National Parks Program is one of the greatest successes
it really
in American
is.
History.
It really
no
is.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, good.
Sure. It's also cool that there's a great nature spot called the Grand Canyon. It's like, they're like, come check this thing out. It is grand.
It's grand.
It's got the hype built into the name.
I haven't done that one yet. I think our next one with my buddy Grish, your buddy Grish, our buddy Grish and Dub is we're going to Washington State. Going to do some like rainforest type stuff.
Ooh.
Or, whatever. Forest
sure.
type
forest-y
stuff.
Type
yeah.
stuff.
It's rainy.
Yeah.
Yes. Forest.
It's rainy in the forest is what I meant.
Cool.
JD, what's something that was totally hyped up that you really enjoyed?
Actually, I have three answers for this. The first is The Last of Us, the video game. I was very late to.
Mm-hmm.
It's a goddamn masterpiece. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. I love it.
Really?
Yeah.
Spooky?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, yeah. Scary. Second is New York City. Every time I go, love it. I mean, and it's like,
true.
They call it the greatest city in the world. It really is.
Yeah.
We always have a great time when we go.
Would you ever live there? Somebody asked me this the other day.
I would in a heartbeat.
Today?
Today.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
I would.
I always say I would have, like, when I was, like, younger. I'm not sure I would now, getting used to the Atlanta slow life and room and your money actually giving you something. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing. I hate people, but I like being around a lot of people, which I get.
Yeah.
I think everybody in New York is like that, so I would fit in there.
That's true.
I also like walking places.
Oh, yeah.
You never walk here.
Yeah, that's
which
nice.
I hate. Yeah, it's the number one thing. And a functioning public transport system. I know that there's nightmare stories on the subway, but,
it goes everywhere.
It goes everywhere. Yeah. You can get anywhere you want. And it's just great. There's just so much to do. I love it. And the third thing is a bidet. Guys, it's changed my life.
Really?
Yeah.
It's got you.
Squeaky clean.
Squeaky clean. Squeaky clean.
I swear to God, that product, it gets everybody.
Yeah, that's what
Whoever Whoever gets it, they never stop talking about it, and they love it. Yeah.
Exactly. It's hyped up, but it deserves the hype. So, whether it's whatever, I don't know. I'm not going to say any brand names out there, but...
Wow.
Until they pay us. Come on.
Of course. That's right, yeah. Send someone over.
Yeah, but it's...
No Flush Fridays.
We'll just sit on them here. You drop a shitty take, and it's like, hold on.
Yeah, yeah. Shitty take of the week. I mean it.
Yeah, done.
Come on, Liv, Jalen, get on it.
So easy. It comes so naturally to us.
Yeah.
Natural salesman. Great answers, man.
Yeah, thank you.
1, 2, 3. What
for
you
me, I would say maybe Ocean's 11. That movie. That movie was sick. We're talking about it 22 years later.
You're
it's
right.
Sick,
you're
100%
right.
I'm watching it this week. Yeah. I promise
that's
you that.
Yeah, same. I'm excited. I might see if my mom will bring the DVD when she comes
to
visit.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
You got
I was
that?
Like,
wow.
That was one of the first few DVDs I got, along with The Matrix. They're like, you got to get it. It has special features.
Has it got the Soderbergh commentary?
Probably.
I would literally watch that. Yeah. I love Soderbergh. Anyways.
All right. Carry on. Remind me to message my mom. Bring my 20-year-old DVD, please, and a DVD player. Moving on. Somebody on the Mavericks left a Spurs scouting report at a San Antonio hotel. Then a Spurs fan found it, and then they leaked it online. Some tidbits include Wemby wants to face up and create space.
Okay.
Keldon Johnson is a capable shooter but is looking to drive.
Yeah.
And Doug McDermott is an elephant. You can attack him. We can't attack elephants.
I know.
Come on, Greg.
I thought it was because he liked peanuts. That's what I said off the top of the show. That was the tease.
Doug McDermott is an elephant. Also a laser. Great shooter. Anyways, Skeets, when have you accidentally revealed information you shouldn't have?
I struggled with this one, TK, but I went with something I probably leaked a little too early this week. I went on a couple podcasts on Tuesday, a couple live streams, getting ready for the NBA season. I went on Mike Zakarian's Team Hold. Shout out to Mike. And then I went on Pete Overzet's Club Top Shot show. And we talked a lot about the NBA. We talked Survivor. Those guys are Survivor nerds like us. But on that show, I did leak Playback's Alpha that they were partnering with the NBA. And after I said it out loud, I'm like, hold on, they actually haven't officially released this yet. It didn't really matter. I mean, I was like 12 hours early on that. But yeah, I guess I did accidentally reveal the information. It was sort of out in a front office sports article that I was quoted in, but they hadn't really released it yet. But anyway, it's cool. Playback has partnered with the NBA. Get yourself a league pass and come kick it with us as we watch a lot of games this season. So, yeah, my bad.
Get yourself a league pass.
That's right.
JD, when have you accidentally revealed information?
I can't remember which show it was for, but I think we were talking about bumper stickers, and I took a photo of Rachel's car with because she's got a whole shitload of bumper stickers on the back, and I took great pains to blot out the license plate.
Yeah.
But my car was parked right next to it, and I didn't even see the car. Like, I was just like, so it's still out there. Find the episode. I can't remember if it was for this show or for Is This Good, but yeah, it's there. And somebody in the comments said, hey, you blocked out one but not the other. And I'm like, God damn it. So anyways. Whoops. I don't know what you can do with that information. You know, like,
well, this is I was just debating this with Matty O on Playback, who dropped in. You never know who's going to show up on Playback. the other night we were talking about Kartnark.
Yeah.
And the videos because you guys had him on Is This Good? Go check that out. And I was saying, yeah, he doesn't blur out license plates, and I guess Matty O was talking to him about it, and it was like, he doesn't. Yeah, he's like, unless you're like a private investigator, it's like
you can't do that.
What are you going to do? Yeah.
So. But, I guess it, yeah. Anyway, my license plate is on.
But like reality television shows, they always blur out the license plate. Even, and it always weirds me out because like a lot of these shows, like Winter House or Summer House, they're driving cars up. I thought a lot of the time half the cars are like production cars or rental cars. Maybe they're their cars. I guess they could be. But yeah, they blur those out too. Yeah. It's like, who cares? But anyway. Okay.
So there you go.
What do you got for this one?
Yeah, you know, when you get a credential for media for like All-Star final, something like that, they say do not put this on social media.
Yes.
I put it on social media a lot. It's way too many times early on, probably the first three times. Had to be reminded every time, you can't do that.
Yeah, well, it's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
It's cool.
Also what's the thinking with that?
Because you could
print another one.
You could counterfeit it,
but it's not him. They should be his face on it.
Yeah, but they know what it looks like. I don't know.
Yeah, but my point is, if someone actually made it, like they took that image, blew it up, made the whole thing, got the lanyard and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, in theory, they're supposed to come into the arena and the guy's supposed to look at it.
Yes.
And it's not gonna. The guy's not gonna look like Trey unless he's an incredible Saul Bloom. I never understood that. I always thought they overreacted to that.
I kind of agree.
Yeah.
But now I'm like very vigilant about it. Anytime I take a picture. Flip it around my back like a cape.
Yeah, it's but then you've got this thing choke. It looks like you're wearing a choker, like when you're in the 90s.
Yeah.
Summer League. I just take it off, but then of course that gets me in trouble because then I'm trying to go through a tunnel. Excuse me, sir. I'm still pissed with that guy at Summer League. I know I brought that up the other day.
Oh yeah, that guy was fierce, man.
He was single-handedly pointing me out too. There were hundreds of us in the wrong area.
Yeah,
and that guy he had locked in on me. Hmm. Why?
What were you wearing?
Probably a cool shirt.
Yeah. You were wearing that shirt that said, I'm going to stab Wemby. Which I thought was a mistake.
Maybe I could take this as a compliment. Maybe he thought I was a leader of men.
Yeah.
And that if he got me out of there.
That's right.
Come on, guys. They don't want us here.
Let's get a rabble rouser.
Cut off the head of the snake.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm sure that's what it was.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it was. No, he just looked at me. He's like, ah, oh, this little scrawny little guy. I'll get this guy out of here. If I can get one person out of here, I'll get him out of here. Final one.
Adidas dropped a new Anthony Edwards commercial this week. It's awesome. It has the Timberwolves star going through a gym bag full of NBA signature shoes and trashing each and every one of them.
Yep.
Ja, LaMelo, Luka, even LeBron take shots from Ant-Man, who says their shoes ain't nothing compared to his new AE1s. Skeets, call out something that ain't nothing.
Call out something that ain't nothing? Pumpkin spice? Fuck off! I was gonna go even next level, and I was gonna say Halloween.
Wow.
But I'm not. People love their Halloween.
Oh, especially around here.
Do you? Oh. I mean, oh, Halloween man. With kids, don't get me wrong. Yeah. That makes sense. I think adults get a little too into Halloween for my liking, but I will stop there. This is like, that's like pissing off Swifty fans, man.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Halloween, hey, do
Halloween
you?
Fans.
Do you? But pumpkin spice, no. No. Doesn't even have any pumpkin in it.
Just the spice?
Right, but it's the spice.
Nutmeg, cinnamon.
Some cloves. Of the best spices, though.
I
ginger.
I hate it in a drink, but like a pumpkin spice scone or something. God damn, it's so good.
No.
It's so good.
And I don't mind pumpkin. In fact, we were carving pumpkins at your house a couple weeks ago with all the kids were there. I was helping doing some scooping, and I love that weird smell.
Yeah.
It smells great. Yeah.
The innards of a pumpkin. Some people hate it.
The innards.
But I was like, ooh, I like this smell. But I also think it's a nostalgia play too.
Totally.
I'm smelling it, thinking of being
because you love Halloween.
Memory, baby.
Because I loved Halloween as a child. But anyway, pumpkin spice is my answer. Ain't nothing.
JD, what's something that ain't nothing?
Airbnb, get out of here. Never again. Never again.
Hotel man.
I'm a hotel man. No, yeah.
He's a hotel man.
And you know what? Uber is getting there too. I mean, we had a whole big discussion about this on. Is this good? But yeah, Airbnbs. I won't do it anymore.
Really?
Yeah, I don't want to sleep on. And it's like so much more gross when you think about it. Like the amount of people that sleep in a hotel bed and stuff. But it's just weird. It's just weird being in somebody's house. And the only time that I would think about doing it is if it was like this is my rental property and I only use it for vacation.
That to me is the move. Yeah.
But it's sometimes hard to tell. And it's just way more expensive than a hotel, generally speaking. So
there is that.
I'm out. I'm out on Airbnb.
Yeah. Okay.
It ain't
you
nothing.
But you love a hotel because you love to have a bath. Like the room service. You like to be pampered.
I like to be pampered. Yeah. That's right, Skeets.
Yeah, as you should.
Have you ever taken a bath in an Airbnb?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Cannot
no way.
Imagine that.
I have never taken a bath in my own home. I ain't gonna take a bath in somebody else's home. That's not true. That's not true. It's not true.
I'm trying to think if I've been in my house like 2 years now. I don't think I've taken a bath yet.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
I'm lying. I did try and take a bath the other day because I was like having sore legs. I had done a race.
These sore legs.
I was like, every time I do it, I'm like, this is so stupid. It's like I don't have a good bath. Like, it's not big enough. It's not deep enough.
You gotta get the candles going and the Epsom salts and the yacht rock.
I don't
want
to be in there that long. I don't need... I'm not chilling.
You have a nice little podcast going? Epsom salts, lavender. Oh, you sleep like a baby.
Yeah, you love it.
I'm telling you.
TK, yeah, call it something that ain't nothing.
Inflatable Halloween decorations.
Yes, ooh. Thank you.
I better see a skeleton.
Yeah.
I want it to be 12 feet, but a 6-foot skeleton will do.
Sure.
Totally
better
fine.
Better be hard.
There's a lot of these inflatable things, a lot of them.
Look, we started with an inflatable. We've got an inflatable unicorn skeleton, of course.
Yeah.
That's junior varsity level decorating out there. All you do is plug it in, blow it up. You did nothing. You need to have a 12-foot skeleton that takes up way too much room in your house the other 11 months of the year.
Well, I was going to say, that's why people went team inflatable, because, you put it down, easily put it in a box, no problem.
Yeah.
12-foot skeleton, that's a lot of work.
I don't know what I'm actually going to do.
Just leave it out.
I want to.
And, like, decorate it for
Christmas.
You know, put a Santa hat on it.
Yeah, that's fun.
Put a Bulls jersey on for the in-season tournament
for when they
or
win
whatever.
A game.
I don't know. like, you know, how you...
But they're already dead.
Like
Perfect.
A flag, right?
Just roasted
them. Oh, my. I'm gonna have to take down my skeleton.
No. The only one I do laugh every time. There's one I see. I'm sure you guys have seen it too. It's an inflatable one. It's like a witch has crashed into a tree, and the eyeballs on the witch are like spinning. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. I actually like that one. I don't mind that one.
Yeah, it's fine.
But otherwise, I agree with that.
Yeah.
12-foot skeleton, new Wemby nickname.
That's good.
Awesome stuff. Great rapid fire questions, fun answers. Rapid fire, not so rapid, but that's the point. Thanks to everybody joining us live here on a Friday morning, joining us all week long as we actually have basketball back in our lives. If you're a Survivor fan, we did a podcast yesterday afternoon recapping episode 5 of Survivor. No Buffs has its own YouTube feed, its own podcast feed. It's gaining steam in the Survivor streets, man.
Great.
People are starting to find it. People are starting to like it. People are coming up to us on the street every once in a while. I mean, maybe 3 times, but it is weird to be stopped now by a fan of No Buffs.
Right.
And not
Absolutely,
No Dunks.
Yeah.
Again, it's only happened a couple times, but yeah, if you're a Survivor fan or not, it's a fun podcast. The 3 of us breaking down every episode. So go check that out. I think that's it. Lots of basketball on this weekend. We'll be back on Monday, probably for some winners and losers of the NBA weekend, our first one of the season. So until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Skeets, you said the last time that KD and LeBron faced each other was Christmas 2018.
Was I right?
I think you're right, yeah. Here's what I was doing on Christmas 2018. Taking a picture of these 3 things I found in my mom's basement, a People magazine special farewell issue of Seinfeld, Deion Sanders' autobiography Power, Money, and Sex, and Vin Diesel on the cover of GQ magazine.
This is exactly what I pictured doing you at your mom's house.
I haven't really grown up since high school.
Wow.
That's all the same stuff I like.
What a haul, man. Oh, embrace the weekend, people.